Hey guys, so before we start the show, who doesn't want to talk about Amazon? Maybe I get so excited about Amazon. I don't know, like I'll see Sean scrolling Instagram or something. He'll look over. I'm totally on Amazon all the time. Anyways, Amazon has created an Amazon influencer program where they select people and shows who they feel are influential. Enter Caitlin. I've got my own page at Amazon at amazon.com/shop/CaitlinBristow with my favorite products. I'll also be updating the page and including product we talk about on the podcast. I have these really cool Beats headphones that I use to podcast with from home, but I also use them on the plane all the time. The rose gold badass headphones. They're on my wish list, so go check them out. I may even get a small kickback from Amazon for any purchases you make after accessing the site, and it costs you absolutely nothing extra to use. The link again is amazon.com/shop/CaitlinBristow, and really, what's easier than shopping with Amazon? Stay tuned to hear more special offers from my sponsors.
Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls
and gents
can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs,
taboo topics,
unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
So, welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow, and I got to be transparent with you guys. We recorded some of this podcast, and something happened with the audio, and we're having to restart. So, just so you guys know, if we like start laughing because we've already talked about something, that's why. So, I'll do my introduction again, even though I felt like this was I've already done it, but because I have.
Yeah. Well, you have.
See, now the wine's flowing. That might be a good thing for the podcast, that now the wine's been flowing.
It's going to be way more fun this time around.
So as I said, so I'm still in New York City. I was complaining about being tired. And then I was like, Caitlin, can you not complain about being tired with a mom in the room?
Yeah.
So let's introduce our guests. You may remember her from, this is how I always say his last name, Ben Flanjnik. But I thought there was a J in there.
There is a J in there, oh. But it's Ben Flanjnik.
Oh, the J is silent.
Yeah. Very fancy.
Oh, that is. The J
fancy.
Is silent. Okay. So you're from his season. And then people always gave you crap for being awkward, but you're not. You were just in an awkward situation.
I was really young and I was.
You were young?
I was pretty awkward. I'm going to admit it.
Okay, fine. You were awkward. In an awkward situation.
Yes.
You went on to go on Bachelor Pad and then went to marry the man you met on Married at First Sight. Then yeah. Married at First Sight. What was it?
The First Years.
Gosh, you've done a lot.
Yeah.
Jamie Otis is in the building. I was looking through your Instagram, and I saw a bad haircut. Now, if this was me, I would have... I use Twitter to, like, complain. I'll be like, ooh, I'm going to tag that company and get free stuff out of this.
You're so transparent.
I'm so transparent. But you... Which I actually now... I really respect this, and I'm going to try and have a Jamie outlook on things now, because you went to a hair salon with a Groupon, and you said it had a 5-star rating.
It did, yeah.
So you had confidence going in there.
I did, yeah.
And ended up getting absolutely butchered, but had the best attitude about it. If anybody's listening, go to her Instagram and look at this haircut and look at her outlook on it.
Yeah.
Tell me your story.
Okay, so I was telling you. Fill us up.
I can't believe this is happening.
You know, technical errors. What can you say?
It happens.
So I was telling Caitlin that I went to Groupon because I had to get just my hair trimmed. That's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I went there and immediately I knew the girl was young.
You want a trim? Psych, you're getting a chop.
She tried her best. And this is the thing. I was telling Caitlin, like, I'm a new mom and I have a daughter. And so I just envision. And I've also been in, like, the food industry. So if anyone's ever been a waitress or a mm-hmm. bartender or even a cook, for heaven's sakes, like, you know, like, the struggle is real because people are assholes.
Yeah, and you have nightmares about those things. Like, this girl will probably... This was her nightmare, and then she just lived it, so now it's going to haunt her for a long time.
Well, I'm hoping it doesn't haunt her, because... So this is what happens. So I sit down, and I can tell she's young, so I'm making small talk with her, like, how much experience does she have?
Yeah.
She's, like, brand new, and I'm like, okay, this is great.
Yeah, here we go.
But I probably should have just turned around and left, but who does that? I mean, that's really rude.
Right.
So I sat down, and I started looking in the magazine, and before you know it, she's, like, looking at me, and she's, like, oh, this is my bad side. Let me go get someone who's a little more. I don't really know what that means either, but okay. I was like, that does not sound good. So I look in the mirror and like literally half of my head is just like hacked.
It's so hacked. Like the Instagram picture, it is. And the poor, oh, the
and there's
girl.
Like one like rat tail in the front. Yeah. Just like is hanging on
right
for dear life.
Yeah, it's not like this was in the back.
Yeah. So, you know, but like you could see the agony on her face. Mm-hmm. And so obviously my first reaction was like, oh my God, I'm going to film a new TV show. My hair is a mess. How am I going to fix this? And then like she was gone long enough that I could like regroup and be like, okay, this girl clearly just started and she didn't mean to hack my hair. Mm-hmm. She's clearly like very sorry about it and embarrassed. And yeah, there was really no saving it.
And you tipped her.
I did tip her because she like couldn't make eye contact with me. She was so embarrassed. Like,
poor
I felt bad for
thing.
Her.
We hope she's listening to the podcast because it's okay.
I just like my thing is I don't want her to feel like, you know, she like went to school for this and I don't want her to feel like she's a complete failure because of one time.
Of course.
Like,
that's so sweet.
We've all really screwed up before.
I probably would have taken to Twitter and made her feel like a failure. And now I feel bad for even thinking that because I'm like, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know what? I don't know. It breaks my heart to think. And it's because I have a daughter now. Yeah. It's weird what happens when you have a kid.
You're right.
Like, you think of things differently because, like, you think, oh my gosh, one day that could be my daughter.
Yeah. And you don't, and you also don't want to show your daughter that, like, you know,
that
a bad haircut
too.
Will make you less of a, you
oh
know, like,
God.
That you have to be like, you know what? It's hair and it grows.
Yes. Like, you're teaching every second, like, you realize that you're like, you're on the stage for your daughter. She's learning. Like, literally right now, if my husband and I get in, like, a little, like, I don't know if we get in like a little like where we're like fighting a little bit. I'm like, no, let's smile in front of Henley.
Yeah.
I don't want her to see us fighting.
I know. It's you're probably so aware of your every move.
You are. Like you become hyper aware because you don't realize it, but you're like everything you do, like she's so impressionable. She's so young and she really, I feel like they learn like way before we ever realize it, you know?
Yeah. So you're like, I love my new haircut.
Yeah. Mommy's crying because these are happy tears.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I just think that's so cool that you did that and that you tipped her and that you left her a little note, didn't you? And
said thank you. Well, I just said thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, because what do you say?
Exactly.
But I just think that's so great. And I'm going to try and have more of an outlook like you did on things now instead of complaining. Oh, like, no, I'm not going to. I was about to complain about airplanes. Why would I go there? I don't know. That's where my brain went out. I was like, what do I usually complain about?
It's like human
airplanes?
Nature, though. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
But that's true. I'm going to look at things differently now. Okay. You were just on a new episode of The Road to Ari.
Yes.
You didn't watch this, but you got a tweet.
Yes.
And you found out that you were number one on The Road to Ari. Is that what it's called? The Road to Ari?
I think so, yeah.
Of the number one most awkward kiss?
Yeah. I don't know what this Road to Ari was, but apparently I'm number one. So, hey, there's that.
At least you were on it because Sean and I were not.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, memorable couples? Let's catch up with them. Not Sean and Caitlin.
Yeah, that's not fair because you guys are the most memorable.
I'm like trying to talk to you about something. I'm like, but what about me? Sorry.
Well, I mean, it's fair to say because you are a success. Like, you're a huge success story.
And same with JoJo and Jordan. And they weren't on it either. But I've noticed that they do lots with their bachelors, not the bachelorettes. And they're kind of focusing on babies. So we don't have that yet. But I mean, hey, Rachel and Brian were on it and their dog was their baby. And I'm like, okay, I'll stop.
Wait, is Rachel still with her?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
I feel like the bachelorettes have more of a success.
They totally do.
Yeah.
They totally do.
Girls are really there for... And what is it with the guys? I mean, I want to do like a study about this.
I know. We've talked about it on my podcast before, just wondering like what that is.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of luck. Like Lauren Bushnell said it was a little bit of luck, which I totally agree with. But it's also, there's got to be something, some kind of science behind it. But anyways, back to you. You were number one. Not that you really want to talk about this anyways, but you were number one most awkward kiss.
Yeah.
And
I found out through Twitter where someone was like, oh, you're the most awkward kisser in all of Bachelor history.
Oh,
and I read it out loud, you know, on my phone from Twitter to my husband. And he literally just high fives me.
Nice high five.
I mean, that's my husband. That's why we're still married.
Yeah, because he high fives you over that. So.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I love it. You're awkward.
Yeah, exactly. You're awkward with other men kissing other men. Not him.
I told him I was saving the good kisses for him.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, that's so. But anyways, you've redeemed yourself since then. You were
I'd
young.
Like to think so.
You're 23.
I was so young.
Who who isn't awkward at 23? Like, especially going on a dating show, being compared to all these women and battling against them for one man. That is so wrong.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
I mean, like I told you before, I mean, Courtney Robertson. If anybody knows who Courtney, I mean, gorgeous. Absolutely stunning. And you wouldn't know it just from watching the show because, you know, TV plays a role.
Right.
But she's very, very friendly. She is like a 10 in all categories.
Yeah, she is. She's really sweet. I met her on the street one day.
Yeah. On the street?
Yeah, by accident. We like walked by each other in New York.
And you must have been like, oh, hello.
I was like, hey. And she's like, Caitlin. I'm like, Courtney, what the? It's so weird. It's such a weird world.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, she is. She's just stunning and sweet.
Yeah, and my husband thinks she's gorgeous. He was sure to let me know. And I was like, turn your head to me.
And you're like, and back to me. I can hear you.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. So, I mean, at the age of 23, I don't like... You know, you were put in a situation where it's like, oh, you need to step it up. Like, what? Let's be sexy with him. Where I don't like that. I don't like if you don't have to be sexy with guys, okay?
Yeah.
Being yourself can be sexy. Being awkward
should be sexy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like, confidence is sexy.
Yeah. And if you're with the right guy, he will think you're sexy. And if he doesn't think you're sexy, then tell him goodbye. Like,
yeah,
and he's not the right guy.
I hate that. I mean, in this situation, Bachelor and Bachelorette, they're put on this pedestal, and including
it's
myself,
true.
I was, so that people are made to believe you want to like them and you need to need them.
Yeah, it's like literally you feel like that's the only man in the world while you're there. And like, if he doesn't like you, then you're SOL.
Yeah, it's the weirdest process.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I love taking out of it is just how much you grow from the experience.
It's true.
Because every day you're sitting in a room talking about who you are and your feelings. Feelings and what you want in life.
Yeah.
And so that is a plus, I will
and
take
we
got
to give the therapist, I was going to say the producers, because they are like therapists.
They are.
Like a pat on the back, because they have to sit there and listen to us talk about our problems and like literally we just talk about ourselves all the time in interviews.
Yeah, except they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, they, yeah.
They listen to our problems and they're like, how can I screw her with
this? You know
this?
What? I don't know if you had this. I had like some pretty awesome. There's a couple people I'm still really good friends with.
Yeah,
from,
same.
Yeah.
I had some great friends.
There
great
are
ones.
Some. And then there's also some who could give two craps.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
you have to figure out where the bad apple is and just.
And you find out after.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because then you're like, you still care about me now? Oh, cool.
I like totally want to talk to you more about production, but that's like neither here. That's another time.
I could. Yeah, we could talk for hours about that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No one cares to know about that.
I'm like, do I talk about it now? No, not enough wine. but yeah, it is. It's a crazy, crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's wild.
And it took you to Bachelor Pad, right?
Yes.
And then, it's so funny because we're re-talking about things because the audio wasn't working. So anyways, I heard horror stories about the Bachelor Mansion when they're filming Bachelor Pad and stuff like that, because you're all living in a house together, where on Bachelor and Bachelorette, you're separated. So the guys all live together and you don't see them unless you're on camera.
Right.
But on Bachelor Pad, you're all living together. So you're like sleeping in the same house.
Yeah. And it's a free for all.
Yeah. It's a free for all. The camera crew people and producers told me horror stories about this room called the Boom Boom Room, how you'd go in there because...
I love that you know that the title was the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah. If we did interviews, they'd be like, where's the interview? Oh, it's in the Boom Boom Room. And that's when we'd
That go. Was like, that's awesome.
I don't even think some people know why it's that, but that was like a known... That mansion is gross too, by the way. Like, there's rats.
They're really... Well, we realized this on the Bachelor Pad. Because they would literally... We would be up... You know how it is. You'd be up all hours of the night drinking, like, relentlessly. And, like, we saw one in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then, like, we all jumped on the couch and the thing is just, like, crazy.
Because it's gross in there. You get that many people just, like, drinking and eating all the time.
I never really saw cleaners either. Like, did anyone come in to clean it? I don't think so. Because, like, everything is so, like, hush-hush about what's being happening while you're filming.
Yeah,
So, like, no sneak peeks or whatever.
And usually, you know, you're not in the Bachelor Mansion for too long because you start traveling. We were there for, like, 5 weeks. We didn't start traveling, like, on
That's
our season
crazy.
For a really long time.
That is, you know what, for I think for our season as well, but not, it wasn't 5 weeks. It was, like, two weeks. And then we were like, thank God. And it's funny when you're on The Bachelor, like, you're so excited that you're not eliminated just so you get to go to, like, the
next
place.
You're like, where are we going?
What's next?
Yeah.
And then when, like, everyone cheers, like, oh, this is where we're going next. It's like, yes, I'm part of this.
I always had such weird, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, this is my life. When you do the toast and you have to hold the glasses up high, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can already hear, like, next week on The Bachelor. And I'm like, this is my life right now. I cannot believe I'm living in The Bachelor Mansion doing the cheers after I got a rose.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
I had so much fun on, I always say this on The Bachelor, just because I think I was at such a good point in my life. I was 29. I had figured myself out. I went through bad breakups. I had like picked myself back up. I was in this place where I was like, I'm here for the adventure and I'm here for, if I get love out of it, great. Bonus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just had such a good time.
Yeah.
I can remember going, I've already told you this, on the camping date. And just, like, drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels, dancing around the campgrounds. Everybody was sleeping, and I was just, like, singing O Canada and just being like, I'm having a blast.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I feel like that's a good place to be in because I was the complete opposite. I was, like, insecure. Like, I literally felt like a fly in the wall. Like, I get to watch behind the scenes as they happen.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I would choose who I thought. Like, I thought KCB in the beginning. I thought, shoot, do you know who that is?
Yeah. KCB? Yeah, of course. She lives in Nashville now.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was, like, perfect for him. And I remember one of the producers was like, yeah, but what about you? And I was like, oh, not me. Like, I wouldn't be good for him. But this girl and him, oh, they are going to be so good together.
But that's got a little bit of confidence behind it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was really good at picking out who would be great for him.
There you go. But like I've said it before, if I was 23 and on The Bachelor, I would have been completely awkward and insecure too, because that's every 23-year-old.
And there I am, number one, awkward kisser. That's how it happens, y'all.
Hey, it's memorable.
Yeah.
It's my favorite time of the podcast where we talk about Bright Cellars wine. You can discover new wines that are delivered directly to you for personal wine bottles sent to your door each and every month. All you got to do is fill out a fun 7-question quiz. It will build your personal flavor profile to find out your perfect wine. You discuss what kind of chocolate you like. How do you like your tea? And if you don't like a certain bottle, your wine concierge will help find a replacement. There's wines from all around the world, Italy, Spain, Portugal, South America. And you, Vine listeners, using my link, can take the quiz and get a preview of recommended wines for free. You can also get 50% off your first box if you go to brightcellars.com/offthevine. Again, that's 50% off your first box, 4 bottles of wine delivered directly to you if you go to brightcellars.com/offthevine. So I thought we'd get to confessions because that's what we do. Every week I'm like, how the heck am I going to come up with a new confession? I do enough stupid stuff. See, like right there, I was like, but I do enough dumb things where I'm like, I can confess, but it's hard to think of some every week.
Yeah.
So my only confession that I could really think about was that I stayed up the other night for like an embarrassing amount of time YouTubing clips of myself with Sean and our cuteness.
I mean, if that's what it takes to keep the flame alive.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta do, girl.
I was like, we are cute and you
look
are hot.
At us.
Yeah.
I mean, he is very attractive.
Oh, it's stupid. It's stupid. Sometimes I feel like inadequate.
No, you guys are like a power couple as far as like the hotness level for both of you.
Oh, see, and I think I'm just like, I keep up the group average with my humor.
No.
Actually, but he's really funny.
Don't sell yourself short. Because you're really pretty.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, like, teach me your ways, because, like, I feel like you have such a great body. I really do.
Really?
Yeah. Like, do you work out all the time?
No.
Maybe. You eat healthy.
I eat very healthy. Yes.
Yeah, so.
I eat very healthy. I work out sometimes. I work out, like, maybe twice a week.
That's really good, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because I haven't done.
Sometimes I don't.
Confession. Here's my confession.
Yeah.
I haven't worked out, and I can't tell you how long. And actually, another confession. This is, like, embarrassing to admit, but it's all going to come out eventually anyways on our show. My husband and I have not had one night of good sex in probably more than half a year.
Well, that is so relatable to all the moms out there.
It really sucks.
It's – you know what? That is one thing where I'm like – sometimes Sean and I get into conversations where we're like, we don't have sex enough. Like, what are we doing? We're
engaged. I feel like there's so much pressure to have, like, a great sex life.
There is.
And so much pressure.
You know what also somebody said to me? When was this? Oh, my girlfriend said this to me at dinner the other night. And I was like, whoa, great point. She said, the thing you have to worry about is when you don't actually want to have sex. But when you can't, like, you know, it's I always, I'm like, the thought of having sex with Sean, I'm like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, nothing turns me off about that.
Yeah.
It's the second that when you don't want to, that's a problem.
Yeah. Well,
it's not even like, and you might not want to for other reasons. Like, I don't want to because I'm tired is fine. But if you still desire that person.
Yeah.
You have to still desire that person. That's
a good point. Yeah. Because, you know, the anatomy downstairs after having a baby.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
Yeah, no.
And, like, I feel like girls, I wish someone would have told me how hard it would be because I work in labor and delivery, for heaven's sakes. I'm a nurse.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, like why don't I know this? Like,
because no one experienced it.
No one really talks about it though either. I mean, it is painful. And I'm actually, the other night we tried again and I'm like, I'm going to the doctors.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely think there might be something wrong down there because it hurts.
How old is your baby?
She is 3 and she's going to be 4 months soon.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's amazing. So that's like, and like, we didn't even really have good sex in the last trimester.
Yeah.
So like,
I need it.
Yeah. And my poor husband, because he's like, I feel connected from, you know, from sex really. Yeah. Like it's very, like, it's like a man thing.
It is a man thing.
Yeah. And I wish I was more like that because I'm so effing tired anyways. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, or I could sleep.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just so different. Like guys and girls are so different.
It's so true. But like some girls, like I was talking to one of my friends the other day and she was like, oh, I'm the guy in the relationship. I could have it 3 times a day, all day, every day. Like, and I'm like,
yeah, that'd be nice. But
yeah. But I don't have that. I don't have that much libido. And especially now. And I think, well, I'm exclusively nursing as well. And so I think like hormones play a role, but I don't know what it is, but it needs to be fixed because I'm like, my husband's going to start having a wandering eye. If I like, I mean, I almost want to be like, yeah, go ahead. I feel bad. It's been so long.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for confessing that because I love when people are honest on this podcast and so many people will relate to that.
Yeah.
And that's such a normal thing in relationships with or without kids.
Yeah.
It's just always a conversation.
That's true.
And I do think like as long as you just desire that person.
That's all that matters. Yeah. And you know what's crazy? That's another thing is that I feel like I've never loved my husband more. Aww. I don't know if this happens to everybody after they have a baby. As a matter of fact, like in my family, but I come from a very different type of family. Let me start off by saying that.
Yeah.
But sometimes like the dads head out, like they peace out and they like, you know, and like, you know, the relationship is just not the same after having a baby because it's so much more work.
Of course.
You can't tell. You can like, I could tell you till I'm blue in the face how much work it is and you still won't understand until you have the newborn. Yeah. It is crazy how hard it is to have a baby.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I feel like I feel so blessed. I genuinely do that my husband, like, we just have grown so much more in love since
That's
having her.
So sweet.
Yeah. I don't think that happens.
No,
all
I don't
the
think
time.
That happens all the time either.
Yeah. So I don't want to, like, you know, give the wrong impression to.
I feel like people go through phases. I mean, gosh, that's relationships in general go through phases, like honeymoon phase. And you're like, oh, gosh, are we even meant to be together? And then you kind of like, oh, this is a different kind of love. And I actually truly deeply love you. And then you're like questioning things again. And then but that's every relationship. And like you said, for so many things in life, people don't have these conversations enough just so that everybody can relate, like mental health. How many times you have sex in your relationship, being insecure, being vulnerable, being who you are. Like people just don't have these conversations enough because everybody can relate and understand and be there for each other. If we do.
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, we don't talk about it because it's, let's be honest, it's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
You feel a little less than when you expose the fact that literally it's been 6 months since I've had sex with my husband. You know, like, who admits that out loud? I guess I just did.
But I think you should because I think now other people will be like, oh my gosh, me too.
If someone would have told me that that was like even a possibility because I didn't even think that was a possibility.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, I knew in the third trimester, I was like, okay, well, we haven't had sex, but, you know, after the 6-week checkup, oh, yeah, it's all going to be fine, and everything's going to be great, and we're going to, like, revive, and I don't know why I even thought that.
Yeah.
Because that's not happening. But, and it's not for lack of trying, because we're trying, especially him. Like, he'll try something. The other night, I was like, okay, I really want to try with you, but not tonight.
Well, and you're in pain, so that doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, like, we hadn't even, it is still very painful. I guess it's like hormones. I don't know. I'm genuinely going to figure that out. I'm going to go to the doctor.
You go to the doctor and you figure that out.
I'm beginning to wonder if this is normal. Should I not admit this out loud? But that's why we don't talk about it. It because we this wonder.
Is, my podcast is the safe place.
Thank you.
Everybody who listens to this is always so understanding and like loves hearing people's real stories.
Yeah. Because I feel like you're right. Like, I can't be the only person who's ever experienced this.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I know it happens in every relationship.
Really?
So you are not alone.
Good. Thank you. See, this is why I'm here. Thank you for making me feel more human.
Yes.
And less alien.
No, I will always, even if you tell me the craziest thing, I'd be like, good for you.
I feel like that is the craziest thing. I mean, like,
no, it's not.
But what's the craziest thing you've ever heard in confessions?
I would tell you, but she actually messaged me and asked me to remove it from the podcast because it was.
It's that bad.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
But like.
I still think it could have been on there.
She should probably just like let loose and just let it all. Who cares?
She did. But then after she was like, I don't even know. I can't even say who, but
okay,
it was so funny. But it was also like, it was acceptable.
Yeah. But you know what? When you're in your own skin,
yeah,
like what we think for ourselves is acceptable or for
yeah.
someone else. But when it's us,
yeah.
then it's like, oh, crap, I'm not going to share that. Like what?
No, of course. Even though I'm like, I'll go there.
Yeah, well, you would. That's why we love you.
Like, I'll totally go there. Okay, well, let's wash away our sins with,
yes.
with wine. Cheers.
Cheers.
And thank you for confessing to me.
Mm.
And this rosé is really sweet, isn't it?
It is very sweet. But it's pretty good. I mean, it's like...
No, it's delicious, but it's just
tastes
sweet.
Like juice.
It actually tastes like watermelons.
Yeah.
It's quite nice, but it's just
it's like way too easy to go down.
It is very easy to go down. Okay, so Married at First Sight.
Yes.
I've never watched a show, but my mind is always blown at the concept because you genuinely do not meet that man until you are marrying him.
That's true.
But what I found out earlier is that there's a like science behind it.
There really is. It's like the real deal when it comes to like the scientific profiling here.
Yeah.
So like when I tell you there's like questionnaires, it's like hours at the computer answering the same question 10 different ways to make
wow.
sure you're not like cheating the system somehow.
Right. Oh.
And then somehow some people are sneaky and they still figure it out. But
oh, those are the relationships that don't work.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
how did you end
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
But because it's then a thing. So some people still don't know about Married at First Sight, but it's this show that's become pretty popular in the fact that like it's entirely different. It's more of like a documentary in the mm-hmm. sense that like they're genuinely trying to change the way relationships are. Like right now, I think everyone knows it's like 50-50 for marriage, like whether
yeah.
or not you stay
yeah.
married or get a divorce.
Yeah.
And so the idea behind this is, can we make it like more than 50-50 and what does it require? And so ultimately like four different experts. I mean, there's a sociologist, there's a pastor, there's like a sex expert. There's like a bunch
wow.
of different professionals.
Yeah.
And they meet together and they help analyze all these different people and then they pair you together. But the first time you meet your spouse is at the altar. Like, you know, I didn't know my husband's name. I had no idea what he looked like. Hence the breakdown.
It's oh, did
very
you have a
embarrassing. Oh my God, Caitlin, it's embarrassing. I feel like the most shallow person because I swear I must have thought like it was going to be Brad Pitt or something. I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah,
I was,
you probably like, have this like,
I had this like big,
yeah.
like, oh, because the experts were like, oh, you know, he's so great. We love him. He's our favorite. Like, wait till you meet him.
So they tell you. So they hype the person up.
Well, they didn't. They weren't supposed to. Like, the producers were like, no, stop talking. You know,
oh.
like, you're not supposed to be talking about anything.
Oh.
But, like, they genuinely loved him so much. So I was like, oh, this guy is
he must be perfect.
It's got to be Brad Pitt. I mean,
yeah.
who else is perfect?
Like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to marry Brad Pitt. Right.
I can't wait to meet Brad Pitt. Jamie Pitt sounds so good.
I've thought about it for years. That's crazy.
And then, like, the doors open, and it's a very real wedding, too. Like, I mean, I'm in a wedding dress, and my niece's nephew are, like,
oh,
down the aisle.
Gosh.
And the flower girls. Yeah, my sisters are my bridesmaids. I took it very, very seriously. And thank God my husband did as well. So, like, his brother's the best man,
yeah.
and, you know, he's got his groomsmen. And, you know, our eyes lock for the first time. And my husband is profusely sweating, whiter than
no.
a ghost.
Oh, no.
With, like, this cheesy grin on his face,
oh,
like,
no.
yeah.
Ah!
And I'm like, and all his side, like, there were, you know, the sides of the wedding or the aisle or whatever.
Yeah.
His side is all, like, so happy. And my side is, like, giving me, like, the thumbs up, like, yeah, just keep going. And I literally start to cry. I couldn't stop it. I, like, because I took it so seriously.
Well, yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's such a weird concept because, well, so is Bachelor. But
yeah.
I mean, you have something in your head.
And it's a legal marriage, too. So, like,
wow.
Bachelor's like, will you or will you not get engaged, right? But this is like, you are legally marrying someone after you say I do. And you meet them for the very first time.
What happens
altar.
If you do you have to say I do? No.
So far, no one's ever turned around, but I literally almost, I told myself I was going to go through with it because to me, like, I like literally put it all on the line. Like
yeah.
every like all my baggage, I was very honest and transparent about.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, if you can find a man who will love me and my family
mm-hmm.
and has like this, this, and this, and this,
mm-hmm.
then sign me up and I'll marry him.
Yeah.
And I just held on to that, you know, like that must be who this is, even though.
Aw, so it's true love. That's so cute.
I mean, kind of. It seriously did not go down like that. Like,
well, right. But now.
It took years, though. Like, it really did. It took us a very long time
to fall.
Now,
do they give you guys, like, counseling?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I knew I really – I mean, come on. I was the number one worst kisser in the Bachelor history. Clearly, I needed some help, right? I can admit that. And I think that if you go on Married at First Sight, for heaven's sakes, you have to admit that you need a little help. I mean, if you can't – I mean, come on. Why else are you going to marry a complete stranger?
We all need help in some way.
Yeah, right? And I felt fortunate that I had these experts who were genuinely interested in helping. So I was like, I'm going to take their advice. And that's pretty much what you do, like, throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, after anybody who's listening who's watched Married at First Sight will know that, like, I was so scared, and it came off as very shallow because I wasn't immediately attracted to him. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was so wrong. I was like, wait a minute. This is marriage. This isn't something to play around with.
Because, let's be honest, initial attraction is what usually starts a relationship.
Yeah. And if you don't have that spark, then you're like, oh, there's nothing.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you.
Yeah. Also, I do believe in friendships forming first. I do believe in falling in love after. I really do.
And I would, like, beg to differ, or I would, like, jump on a limb to say that maybe that is what the foundation needs to be, is, like, friendship and trust and respect. Mm-hmm. And that's really how I, like, went into this. Not even because I was trying to be, like, I don't know. Like,
and you know from experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You did. You fell in love from, like, starting with not sure to getting to know who a person is and falling in love with them.
I started off with, like, this is never going to work.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Like, I'm sorry, but I'll do the experiment because I said I would,
right.
But it's never going to work. To, like, really, like, he was the most patient, respectful, funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he took a shirt off and I was like, whoa, abs.
Ah,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. And it just slowly, and then it was like, why was I not attracted to him?
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know?
Well, that's, hey, look at Carly and Evan.
Yeah.
The same thing happened for them.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, if Sean and I met on Married at First Sight, we wouldn't have had to go through all this, like, drama and me, like, dating other guys and, like...
But your story is also, like, it's so great. And, you know, that's the thing about love, though, is everybody has their own love story.
I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
That's so true. And not only did you fall in love, you have a baby out of this. You're the first Married at First Sight baby couple.
In America.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple in Australia.
Oh, really?
Also had a baby. But, yes, we're the first couple in America to have a Married at First Sight baby.
That is... And she's almost 4 months.
Yes. And she is seriously the cutest thing in the world.
Oh, yes,
I mean, I'm
is.
Her mom, so I'm allowed.
Yeah, but still, I did some creeping. She's pretty adorable.
She's cute.
So
I mean, I love
sweet.
Her. She's like such a happy little girl. She
Which
really
helps.
Is. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's fussy, you know, at her times.
A baby.
Yeah. That's it. She's a freaking baby. Like, that's what happens. She's not fussy. She's just a baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's just what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Even babies who are, like, so perfect still fuss.
Yeah. And if you expect your baby not to fuss, well, then you're a weirdo.
You're unrealistic.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And where are my notes now?
So we just had a baby.
Oh, you had a baby.
Yes. I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wait, that's where we're at. And I think you've always had this, like, mother nature to you, because this is so crazy, you gained custody and raised your younger siblings when you were in college.
Yeah. 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 So that's part of the baggage that I was like, when for Married at First Sight, you
know.
But
that says so much about who you are as a person and what kind of mom you will be. And I just think that's so.
Aww, you're so sweet.
I just want to, like, bow down to you. Like,
oh,
that's just,
come on.
No.
I honestly think that if anybody was put in that situation, like, it's not like I was like, oh, let me go and raise my siblings. You know,
right.
I was just kind of, like, thrown into it.
Yeah.
Like, my mom literally wrote a note for my siblings to get off the bus at my home. And then she just kind of disappeared. She was like,
oh,
peace out.
I'm so sorry.
For a hot minute.
Oh, my.
No, it's, you know what? In hindsight, I'm so thankful for everything that like, we all went through. Because, I mean, I love my siblings. And
oh, I bet.
Yeah, and I feel like I grew up a lot. I mean, I could have been a promiscuous little mama in college, but instead I was like the complete opposite, like trying to take care of some kids. And so that saved me
from
an STD.
How old were they? And like.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing too, is they weren't that young. So, long story short, I mean, we were going through really hard times. Like, we were living in this, like, rundown trailer. I mean, literally leaky ceilings. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Hot mess. And, and my mom was, like, just disappearing a lot. She has, like, dependency issues. Mm-hmm. And she, in her defense, she has 5 kids, was a single mom, was beat to crap by my stepdad.
Oh, my
gosh. Who was, like, in and out of jail. So it wasn't easy for her.
No.
And she just turned to drugs for coping mechanisms. And that was like a sour path because she just went down there and like I feel like she's never returned. Yeah. But she would disappear a lot. And I was like 18 at the time. So I was like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to college. I'm going to get my own home. I'm out of here. But my three little siblings are still there.
Right.
And when you're 18, though, like I do have a little guilt that I never like took them with me. I just because their eviction notices were coming. Like it wasn't long before like, you know, my mom was going to get kicked out.
Right.
But and my siblings. So I, you know, but I was young. And so I went to my own little home. And that's when, you know, and I left my siblings there, which I feel so bad about because my mom was like never there. And there was like no food.
When you're 18, you kind of just.
You do your own thing.
Yeah.
Which,
and you run from, not that you run from problems. Well, you kind of do. Like you're just like, I want to figure this out for myself.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be hurt in this situation. So I'm going to go do what I need to do. And then you ended up.
Yeah. And so that's. So the truth of the story is I left them first, which is terrible.
Yeah.
But I guess I just didn't know any different. And then my mom said, listen, you know, like the eviction, I mean, it was like the final eviction notice, like the boards, like there was, they were not, they changed the locks and everything. There was no going back into that house because my mom was so late paying, you know, the rent or whatever. So she said, can the kids get off at your house? And I was like, yeah. And literally I lived in like a little 2-bedroom rinketing trailer myself. And they got off and I'm telling you, it was like Little House on the Prairie for us because we had zero money.
Yeah.
We had like, we didn't even have enough like space. There was 2 bedrooms. It was like, but it was like we each had our own little role. Like I was actually a cheerleader and I had a job and I was a full time in college.
Wow.
So my sister Amy Lynn, she was 16, and so they're a little older. So my sister Amy Lynn was 16. The twins were 14. They're the two youngest, and my sister Amy Lynn would help me like watch them until I could get home. And Leah like helped. She was like one of the twins.
Yeah.
She would like cook dinner and help me clean.
Wow.
I mean, we all have. And my brother was just like a hot mess because he's a little boy.
Yeah, yeah.
But we all had our own little roles and we did our thing. And and then. And, you know, long story short, I ended up.
I just think that's so special.
Yeah. We had like a really, I mean, like, don't get me
you
wrong.
You did what you needed to do to make ends meet and to show each other the love that you needed. And I just realized I said, did I say Mother Nature earlier? Isn't that like.
I don't know.
You know what I meant.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but you have like the, you just have always had this nurturing.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, anybody who's ever like given a little, like it's almost like, I won't say selfish, but like you feel good about it. Like I felt good that my siblings knew they could count on me.
Yeah.
You know, like I wanted to be there for them. And I wanted that so bad for myself when I was younger. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that for them. And then it felt good. It's like, honestly, it's a little codependency. There's like, it's like a shade of gray that you should cross. But because like then when they're starting to get on their own, I'm like, wait, but don't you need me still?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I want to help you.
Yeah. But you probably did so much for them at that age too. Just like, I mean, for later in life, like for their longevity of like.
I hope so.
Self-love and loving others. And, you know, that's, I just think that's so great that you did that. And
Yeah.
And that's your story.
Yeah, that's my story. But that was not something that I was like, you know, sharing to the whole world.
No.
Because I was very embarrassed about it at first, you know.
Right.
But
Well, especially at a young age, you think that's like not okay. Or, you know, but everybody has.
Yeah. Like when you're on The Bachelor and that's where you're coming from. And like Courtney Robertson is gorgeous and she's like gracing the cover of like some magazine and then like the next girl has like this beautiful horse ranch and she like talks about like her family get together and I'm like back at my home it's me and my siblings and we literally have pots and pans collecting the leaks from the ceiling. Yeah, like you just don't talk about that, you know. But
that makes you who you are.
Yeah, and honestly, like fast forward to 8 years later where I am now, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, now you're killing it. When I'm not drinking wine, I actually really enjoy that beverage, LaCroix. Enjoy LaCroix's sparkling water, a calorie sweetener and sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial. Make the switch to LaCroix sparkling water, a healthier alternative for you and your lifestyle. There's zero calories, zero sweeteners, zero sodium, 100% innocent. It's all natural, environmentally friendly, and flavored with fruit essences. There's over 14 flavors like key lime, tangerine, mango, apricot, passion fruit. I actually really like it for if I'm not drinking. It's still a fun drink to have. And again, it's very innocent. The LaCroix family also includes 6 LaCroix curated flavors, including pineapple strawberry, apple berry, cherry lime, and so much more. LaCroix Curate has a bolder flavor. LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Curate Sparkling Water is also gluten-free, vegan, and non-GMO. LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Curate Sparkling Water are both available nationwide. So for more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water or check us out on LaCroixWater.com. For a full list of retailers, visit LaCroixWater.com.
We'll be back with more Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. Now, if you're hearing my voice, it means you like podcasting. And if you like podcasting, well, then you're going to love my show. Lots of funny segments, good bits, great guests, and of course, moi. That's Mexican for me. So check it out at Podcast One, iTunes, or wherever you listen to fine podcasts. The Adam Carolla Show. Throw it on your phone. It's free.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
You have your own daughter.
Yeah.
You have a book.
Yes, I do.
Which,
yep. Wifey 101.
I kind of want to read it.
It's like literally like everything you shouldn't do when you're a new wife, so. Or any relationship, really. I was like and a terrible wife.
And where do you get the
book? It's on Amazon.
You were a terrible wife.
I really was. Yeah.
And that's all in your book?
Yeah. I mean, I was very honest about, well, first of all, like the first time my husband and I was like, you're my husband.
Yeah.
Even though you're a stranger, shouldn't I see your penis? And then I'm so awkward. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you know what?
What I
he
said
probably
next,
loves you for that.
Do you? If what I said next is so wrong.
What?
On every single level.
What?
I was like, oh, I thought it'd be a little bigger. It's so wrong on every single
Jamie.
Level. I know. But, and the truth of the story is I was just so insecure about myself, and I needed to get out of the situation that you're in. Because I was like, oh, no, we're not actually going to go there. Like, I don't want you to think we're actually having sex. So I wanted to, like, de-escalate it.
Yeah.
Because it was our honeymoon, and I...
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that did it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But he is like, first of all, like, why would I say that? Like, and that's not even really what I mean, he has a great penis. let me clear the record. I love my husband's penis.
Okay. Well, I would hope so. But that's so... No, you just said it in the first... You said it because you were insecure, and you
wanted
to squash the situation, which I'm
sure
you
did. But I also wanted to see
did.
His penis.
Because you're like, wait, this could change everything.
Yeah.
But that's so funny. I love how honest you are.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, I'm glad if that's all in the book, I'm definitely reading it.
Yeah, that's in the book.
And so you okay.
So don't do that. Okay, that's like my tip number one.
Don't do that. Okay, so you wrote a book. You were on all these shows. You've hosted so many things.
Yeah.
And
I loved hosting.
And now you guys have a new show.
Yes.
So tell us about that, because it's with the three of you now.
Yeah. So actually tonight, which by the time you guys share this podcast, it'll be – but in any case, our new show is called Married at First Sight, Jamie and Doug Plus One.
Yeah.
And it's really – it's very raw and honest, and I'm almost scared to watch it because – oh my gosh, I don't want to like get emotional or something, but
you can get emotional.
I don't want
That's
to
okay.
because I'm like so sometimes I'm like, oh, I just need to like hold it together. But it's just it's been a rough go for us to have a baby.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And we shared that. I mean, because when you go through pregnancy after having a loss, it's like you can't even control your emotions. Like
I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's tough. And so, you know, we're filming this pregnancy and you know, inevitably like feelings come out. And so I was actually talking to Maria Menounos the other day, and she was like, oh, it's heavy. It's really heavy. And I was
That's what she said about your episode?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, oh, what does that mean? I haven't even seen it yet. But, you know, I'm surprised they should have given it to you to see. But in any case.
Yeah,
I'll tell them to send it to them. Yeah. Come on, what about Caitlin? Was she chop liver?
Yeah, come on.
Let her see the episode.
Well, I have it.
Because they let, like, press see it before they let us see it. But in any case, so I'm a little nervous to watch it. And my girlfriends were like, oh, let's watch it together. We'll have a big thing. Because I, like, had them on it with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think I can watch it with anyone else.
Yeah.
Because
you kind of need that
it's
moment
like
for yourself. Reliving
just the loss, I think, you
absolutely.
Know, is going to be. And it's going to be amazing when we have our daughter. But even that was like, you know, it was hard for me. It's like weird, the mixed emotions you have. Because, you know, when I saw her, I was like, you know, is this what my son would have looked like? And, yeah, you know, course. Like, it's just, it's hard. And he was actually due tomorrow. December 20th was his due date. So he would be a year old.
Oh, and that's, yeah. You know, you're going to think about that. And that's,
yeah,
that's something you will never forget. And that's something you will think about every year. And that's so hard to have that documented because, you know, to go through that in the first place, I can't imagine, is already something nobody should ever have to experience it.
Yeah.
So then to know you have to watch and relive.
But you know what's sad is that, and this is why I chose to be as honest and open about it, because 1 in 4 women go through a loss. Mm-hmm. It's like unbelievable to me. And the fact that there's no one out there to help another woman, like,
Again, it's the conversation. Yes. Why is nobody talking about with each other?
Yes, we were just talking about that. And it's like, there's so many things that us women, like, we could help each other out if we just shared a little more and stopped, like, trying to, I don't know, like, hide it because we're embarrassed or shamed or, like, don't want the awkward conversation. But what if the awkward conversation turns into something that's actually, like, meaningful and helpful and supportive? Yeah. So, and inevitably, like, I don't. You know what it's like when you're filming, the camera's just there. So I don't think I could have avoided it anyways.
No, you can't. But that's the thing is having, you know, I always believe in certain things, like the fact that you went through this and that it is documented, it's probably going to help so many people.
I really
hope so. And you're probably going to, like, meet people out of it that can be therapeutic for you.
Yeah.
And that you can form some sort of support group of women who have gone through this.
Yeah. I you know, I remember after we lost, you know, our son, I would literally just sit on the couch, like, in the dark and just, like, sob. Like, and then I felt like an idiot because I'm like, what
am
I doing?
Are you kidding me? Of course.
But it's like, what do you – like, there's just – I just felt like I didn't know where to go. I felt like just, like, this deep, dark hole that I was – and I just – honestly, I was like, how would I ever be happy again? I never felt like I could be happy again. And I felt like the only thing to fix it – because, like, one day you're pregnant and you feel this, you know, this baby inside you. And then the next, it's just all gone. That's crazy. And so
– I cannot imagine.
Yeah. It's crazy. So in any case, then I just felt like I had to be pregnant again. And then, like, every month trying and, oh, God, and, like, every negative test, like, you feel like the world's against you. And I was probably at, like, the lowest point of my life when – you know, when we were trying, and then we found out we were pregnant again, and and here my daughter is 4 months old.
Oh, this makes me so happy that you have that, and you deserve it.
Thank you.
And it's, you know, that is right there your story, shedding, like, light on the subject, but also saying, like, there is hope for people as well.
Well, that's the thing is that when I was going through it, first of all, I had no idea how many women went through it. Mm-hmm. And then so I would blog about it because it was like a little piece of therapy for me. Writing has always been very therapeutic for me. And so I would blog about it because, like, if you try to talk about a loss, like, even with my husband, like, he, you know, he means so well, but he just didn't quite get it the same way. And then even, like, some of my girlfriends, they just had never experienced it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they don't know what to say. And then it's awkward altogether. So I had, like, no outlet. And I would literally just blog. And then I would get these emails from other women who have gone through it. And they would tell me about they suffered a loss, but now they have, like, 2 quote-unquote rainbow babies. And that's, like, a baby after a loss. And they, and, like, all these women would share. And it gave me so much hope. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and so I am hoping and praying that our show will hopefully, like, if for a woman who is sitting on that couch sobbing alone in the dark and feels like a freaking loser when she realizes that she's been sitting all day. I've been there. I know what it's like. Yeah. And if they can watch a show and be like, listen, there is hope. I mean, there are so many people who go through infertility.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, with, like, Whitney, that's her job.
Yeah, yeah. I've learned a lot about that kind of thing.
Yeah. And didn't you freeze your eggs too?
I froze my eggs. Yeah.
Good girl.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's very, I guess it is heavy. I guess it is very heavy, but
that's part of your story.
Yeah.
And you've probably inspired so many other people to have hope and.
I hope so. That's
and
the,
to
that's
have
goal.
Conversation about it and
support one another.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's so many things that people need to talk about.
It's true.
With so many subjects. That
it's
could
so
get
true.
People through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could have a guest on every podcast that could share, like, something like of a deep story that could get someone through something.
Yeah.
Because if I can reach, like, a large group of women to support each other, I just think that's so important.
Yeah.
But I do love how, you know, times are changing and it's like a woman's world. And, and we are starting to, you know, talk about more things and go there and... So people should watch your show. And
oh, thank you, Caitlin. Yeah.
I'm excited for you and
thank
for everything
you.
That's coming for you.
Thank you.
And Oh, we didn't do Kenyan Ops.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we have time for that. Yeah. So we were saying, you know, there's a lot of moms out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people telling moms what to do.
Yeah.
And what they should and shouldn't do.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't imagine because I don't have kids. Yeah. I'm not a mom, but all of my friends are. My best friends in the world are
moms. I feel like it even happens with, like, doggy moms, though.
Oh, hell yeah, it does.
Like, at the doggy park. Oh. And it's like, oh, my God.
Tucker got kicked out of the dog park the other day because he was too old.
What?
Yeah, because the other dogs were, like, ganging up on him. And they told him, like, this is for the feisty dogs. Like, I know. It's the saddest thing.
Like, Tucker is spicy, too.
I wasn't there. Sean was there, and he told me, and I got so, like, heated over it. Because I'm like...
Yeah, that's screwed up.
I'm like, but the...
Especially in New York, because it's hard to find doggy parks. Like, you have to walk a couple blocks.
It's so sad. I'm like, but he's the nicest. Actually, yeah. he's pretty feisty with other dogs. But yeah. But I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I'm, like, terrified for when I'm so excited, but also terrified for when I have babies because, like, strangers' opinions on social media already piss me off. And I can't imagine the door I'm about to open when I have a child.
It's like a can of bad worms, but you know what? You just have to, like, tune out. Like,
yeah, that's
ignore.
Exactly what I'm going to do.
But it sounds like, you know what it's like. It's so much easier said than done. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
Oh, I just want to, sometimes I'm just like, but I've got to say that my followers, like I call them my friends, like
yeah.
the friends France. And fans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. Friends.
It's good, right?
I
my
like
friends.
Oh, friends.
To go with Donna and.
And Rick.
Donna and yeah. Rick. We're yeah. all friends.
Friends.
I feel like my social, it's a pretty safe place for me to be able to post because if
That's
someone
great.
Says something negative, I have like a 10 people be like, yeah, don't you dare.
Yes, I
and do. I'm like, I love you ladies so much. And I like literally like, I read every single comment. Do you too?
No.
Well, you have more followers than me. So it's
I go through
more
it sometimes, but yeah. sometimes I'm like, I can't.
I love how honest you are too, though. I mean, it's so good that you're so honest.
Well, people piss me off.
Yeah.
And if you piss me off, I'm going to let you know about
well,
it.
Well, you should. But you know what my husband says, and I'm sure you've heard this too, is like for the one person who says
yeah,
something negative,
course.
There's like 100 more who are positive.
But it's weird to, in anyway, like if somebody was like, oh my gosh, Caitlin, you're so pretty. I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But when people are like, hey, Caitlin, you have this wrong with you. I'm like, oh, I'm going to stand up for myself.
Yeah.
So it's so hard because I do. Of course I notice all the compliments and of mm-hmm. course that like makes yeah. me feel so good.
Yeah.
But I also like. I don't want to get self-worth from people on the internet.
Yeah.
But I do want to stand up against bullies.
Yes.
Because I like to stand up for myself and I like
Good for
to
you.
Also let them know that that's not okay.
Yeah.
And
it's funny
so I get many opportunities to do so.
Yes. Isn't that so sad? It's like, whatever happened to women supporting women? Seriously, though. Like, don't sit behind your computer and think that I'm not a human being on the other side, going to read your comment, and that it's not going to affect me. Like, yeah.
And then I'm like, if I call them out and they learn and never do it again, I feel like I did something good there.
That's a really good point. And also, like we were saying, I don't know if it was on this one or the one before that's gone now, our podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have a child, she really does, like, he or she, they're so impressionable and they,
yes.
like, look up to you. And, like, as a mom or even, like, honestly, as another woman in this world,
yeah.
to, like, see that, like, maybe you'll inspire someone else to stand up for herself, you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Because no one, we should all be able to have enough of a backbone to be like, don't you treat me like that.
Exactly. That's
like, I don't tell you to go out and, you know, get on slim fast diets or because
exactly.
you think, I, oh, yeah, we
even
can go
though,
on.
Like, all these people, like, their words are so empty to me because I know I'm not too skinny. I know
yeah.
that this is my body and I know
yeah.
that I'm okay with my body and
yeah.
all these things. So when they say these things, it's empty. Like, I don't take it, like...
Personally.
No.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Absolutely not.
But whatever. At
but
least
whatever.
You're a confident, strong woman and you don't have to deal with it. Like,
yeah, I'm like, yeah. okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you not?
So let's do can you not.
Okay.
Shamers.
Oh. I mean, there are so many can you nots. Can
so
you not?
So many.
I mean, I told you I wanted to have a list because I feel like I'm going to forget them now that you put me on the spot.
Do you have a list?
I didn't have time to write a list.
Okay, I'll start it off. It'll probably inspire you.
Okay.
This is, again, I turned to, I like to call them my vinos. I did call them viners, but now vinos is good because it's like winos
vino.
And vinos
yeah.
and vino. So I turned to them for some. So a girl said, can you not touch my pregnant belly? You would not touch my belly if there wasn't a baby in there. It's still weird.
not going to lie, I don't mind it. When I was pregnant, I loved being pregnant.
Well, I felt really guilty because I was like, I touch pregnant.
I love it. I'm like, yeah, you want to touch my baby? Oh, she's moving. Feel.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's a matter of opinion. But, okay, so let me find one.
Okay.
I mean, this is for the moms who have toddlers, okay?
Okay.
Because I think this is going to be me in the future, so okay. I'm already defending myself. But can you not judge me if I'm in the McDonald's drive-thru with my toddler?
Oh, yeah. Do people judge for
that? Oh, my God, 100%. Like, if it's not organic and, like, which, by the way, I do want to be all organic.
Yeah, well,
but I won't judge you if you're going through the McDonald's line. And, like, if I end up having to, like, go through the McDonald's line,
yeah.
My kid has the freaking French fry, forgive me.
Yeah. Like, I ate McDonald's. This is no. Maybe this can be one of my confessions. No joke. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. High school, which in where I grew up was grades 10, 11, 12.
Okay. That's
different. Every single day of my life, I ate McDonald's. Every single without fail.
That's disgusting, Caitlin.
Disgusting. I'm talking every day. Everyone who knows me, my family can tell you this is the truth. Every single day.
You know what? Women are just jealous of you because if I ate McDonald's every single day.
But I was also dancing like 7 days a week.
Oh, so you're burning so many calories anyways.
And like 5 hours on Saturdays and Sundays.
That's insane.
I danced every single day.
Good for you. I want to see, like, if there's like hidden truths about you that, like, first of all, you dance? What?
Yeah.
Do you dance on Broadway?
No, I wish I did.
Oh, my God.
That was my actual, the job title they gave me on Bachelor was dance instructor.
Oh, really?
Which was funny because I really wasn't instructing dance at that time. But I did. My mom was a professional ballerina and I grew up dancing my whole life. And
oh
it was
my
like
gosh.
My passion and it's why I moved. And yes, every single day.
So what are you more passionate about, singing or dancing?
Now singing.
Yeah.
Before, if you asked me like 5 years ago, I would have said dancing.
I mean, I feel like, I'm a TV host, so sometimes I like interview people and I want to put you on the spot and be like, girl, sing.
Oh, hell no.
No? I want to turn this table around and interview you. You should do that sometime.
Oh, you can interview me.
Okay. But I would be like, girl, let me hear you sing.
Yeah, no.
Why not? I bet you're really good and you don't even know it.
I'm okay. I don't think I'm bad.
I bet you're really good then.
I think I'm okay. But I refuse, like, especially in a situation like this. I'm like, this is the shittiest mic for me to, like, put my voice
into the
universe
right now.
And
you're like, I'm not doing that.
I need to sound real good if I'm going to put out my voice.
All right.
But I swear I will soon. Once I put, a song out or something, then you can put me on the spot and I'll sing. But I don't want it to my first.
To be like, to be jingle bells. Yeah. I'll do it for you. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
It's a very good falsetto.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, good.
I have no idea. We're on Can You Not.
Oh, yes, Can You Not.
Okay, can you not tell me my baby is cold?
Oh, my God, that's a really good one, too. Or can you not tell me how to burp my baby?
People do that.
Oh, my God. I had someone the other day be like, don't they really like to be held like this when you're burping them? I'm like, I am her mother.
Yeah.
Do you think I don't know how to burp my baby?
I'm pretty sure I've tried all ways of burping, and this one works best for me.
Yeah, I get the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You not? Not tell me what you did for your baby 30 years ago? Things change.
That's a really good one, too. Oh, my God. First of all, 30 years ago, they recommended sleeping on the belly, and now they recommend sleeping on the back. So, yeah, things change a lot.
Things change.
But can you not judge me if my baby sleeps on the belly? Not that she does, but I have one of my coworkers, you know, I'm a nurse, I work in labor delivery, and she, I'm not going to say her name, but she lets her baby sleep on his belly because that's the only way he'll sleep. And she's like, I can't tell a soul that because I'm a nurse in labor and delivery.
Right.
And, yeah. But I have a better can you not because this is very personal to me.
Ready for it.
Can you not judge me if the baby weight's not falling off even though I'm nursing?
Oh, I meant to talk to you about this. It isn't even in my notes. I love your body positivity messages on Instagram.
Thank you.
I love that you're so realistic about baby weight and when it comes off and how it comes off or when it doesn't. Like, and that you're proud of your body because one thing I did learn from freezing my eggs is that I am so proud of my body.
Yeah.
And even when, you know, everyone's like, oh, your body's so like tight and small. I'm like, yeah, but I still have insecurities. Like,
of course.
I'm so tiny. I still have major cellulite.
I wouldn't believe that unless I saw it.
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that like, but I am so proud of what my body is capable of doing that I'm like, why don't women focus more on how we are freaking heroes and beasts?
Yeah.
Like our body is capable of growing a human being. And just everything that comes along after. And so, yes.
And then pushing that thing out.
Pushing. Like, we are heroes.
Yeah, we really are. The other day, I was looking at my daughter because, you know, obviously I grew her in my womb.
Yeah.
In my uterus.
Yeah.
And then she came right out.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm exclusively nursing, and she's had nothing but my breast milk, and she's so chunky and full and happy, and I'm like,
you're like,
how?
I've kept this child alive.
Yeah, and how? Like, how is this possible that me and, like, just whatever, like, what is breast milk, for heaven's sakes? Because how is that, like, growing a baby? But, I mean, she's a big girl.
You and she, you know, she is growing and healthy because of your body.
Yeah, which is nuts, right? Like, and you're right. Why don't we focus on that more than, like, I mean, I do have 20 pounds loose, and I've got to be honest. At first, I was
like, "You're gonna lose 20 pounds."
Yeah,
that's ridiculous from looking at you. But okay.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, I cannot fit into any of my clothes, like none of them. Which is
because you just had a baby.
It's true. And if it was someone else, this is the thing. I come out after having her, and I'm like, "Why do women complain? I feel so strong, and I'm superhuman, and I push this baby out, and oh my god, I'm in so much pain, I can't even sit. But wow, I feel strong.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I'm like." Fast forward to, like, now, and it's been, like, almost 4 months, and I'm like, am I going to be that girl who is, like, my baby's, like, 2 or, like, 5 years old, and I'm like, I just had a baby. This is just the baby weight. But I was like, that's going to be my can you not. Like, can you not judge me if I'm that girl? Yes. My baby's 5 years old, and I'm like, I just had a baby. This is the baby weight. I'm going to lose it.
And who cares if you don't, you know? Like, if you're healthy and your baby is healthy, why are we not, like, wow, good for you. Like,
it's so true. You know what's funny is that I really genuinely believe that. And, like, I work in labor and delivery. So I work with these women all the time. Mm-hmm. And I say that to them. But when it's your body, I get it now. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, you just don't feel sexy.
So hard on themselves.
Yeah. And you feel I genuinely feel, like, sluggish. I don't feel in shape. Like,
right.
I don't feel like I'm, like, if my daughter was like, you need to run to save my life, I'd be like, okay, here we go, honey.
Right. But people need to have more patience with themselves.
It's true.
Because for 9 months you grew a child.
That's
and
right.
You think that in 3 months you're just going to look the same as you did. But no, your body changed over 9 months. Give yourself 9 months to a year, to 2 years, to 3 years, to 4 years, to whatever you need to, in a healthy way, feel good.
I love that. Preach it, sister.
And then as soon as I have a baby and the weight's not gone after 3 months,
I'm literally going to, like, hit, like, stop, rewind, and then play your words to yourself.
I know. I'll have to preach to myself for a while there. But yeah, do people comment on that to you?
Well, our like I said, our show is coming out. And so there's a commercial on right now. And I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah.
She looks so fat.
She's
gained so much weight. Like, I am, like, in the commercials, I'm still 9 months pregnant. I am 9 months pregnant, people. Like, leave me alone. I'm not even kidding you.
That makes me want to
vomit. But you know what? Like, I feel like I'm a little proud of myself because a little 23-year-old me on The Bachelor would be, like, crying in a corner.
Of course.
But the 31-year-old mom who just pushed a baby out of my hoo-ha.
Yeah, you're like, actually.
I do look a little fat. F you. Like, I'm growing a baby.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, whatever.
That's, man, doesn't your mentality and just confidence level, everything just changes. Every year you just get better and better.
Yeah. And for everyone who's in their 20s right now listening, let me tell you, the 30s are, like, the best. Like, don't fret it. I fretted it. Didn't you? Were you just like, oh my God, I'm going to be 30?
No.
Good for you.
I'm that way about 40, but I'm a long
You are that way. You know, yeah, you're a long ways away, so stop worrying about
like,
that
fine.
Now. But yeah, I was a little worried about 30 because I was like, oh, I couldn't. 30 was so old when I was in high school, you know, like 30 was so old.
No.
And now I'm like, oh God, the 30s are the best.
30s
you really
are.
Do. You know yourself so much better.
And you get better every year.
Yeah, it's true. You become more confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I heard about 40s, too. So I'm going to try and not fret it because I've heard that actually 40s is when you really don't give any Fs.
Oh, my God. Bring the 40s on.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
So are you guys looking for a yummy alternative to boring old hummus or looking for something a little more interesting to snack on with your favorite wines? Yes. Lantana hummus has you covered. Lantana brings thoughtful and bold flavor combinations to the hummus category with flavors like sriracha carrot, sweet and spicy black bean, edamame with roasted red peppers, and more. Discover Lantana hummus and brighten every day. It pairs perfectly with wine. You can also find Lantana hummus at over 400 grocery retailers nationwide. Look for the hummus with the striped lids in the deli. Go to lantanafoods.com to find Lantana hummus at a grocery store near you and coupons to help you save. Hummus is actually one of my favorite snacks because I feel like I like dipping things, and I feel like with hummus you can just dip carrots, crackers, cookies, vegetables. I don't care. I just like it. Go to lantanafoods.com for more info on flavors, locations, and more. So I wanted to ask you a few questions just because some people wanted to know, even though I feel like we have talked about a lot of things that people had questions for anyways.
Yeah.
But we'll do questions from listeners.
Okay.
Stephanie Hortzman, does she have any thoughts on why other marriages on the show after the first season have all ended in divorce except for one from season 5?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Okay, cool.
So Married at First Sight was really successful season 1. So mm-hmm. there's two couples still together, myself and Courtney and Jason. Mm-hmm. And then it's been like part of my frankness, but like a shit show since then. Like, and it like hurts my heart to watch it because I know what can come from it.
Right.
And I genuinely believe that it takes two people who really want to be married and who really know that it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
Work.
Yeah, it takes so much work. And like, you know, even quote unquote fairy tales, like they have like their struggles until they get to the ending when that then it becomes the fairy tale. Like, don't go on. Don't expect to get like this easy peasy marriage, you know, like what are you, crazy?
That's like, actually not a thing.
It's not even realistic in any sense. And I feel like they don't put the work in, like they don't want to. And I get, you know, I'm not them, so I can't, like, you know, I don't know what it's really like, but I feel like there have been a couple people who've said, oh, I want what you and Doug have. And oh, when I saw what you and Doug have, I signed up because I was like, oh, I want that. Mm-hmm. Listen, what Doug and I have took so much effing work and like serious tears and like, you know,
it probably had to be next to impossible to get to where you are at. But that's, I feel like you take any couple anywhere, any relationship, bachelor, bachelorette, married at first sight, anyone,
any Joe Schmo and her, you know, his like girlfriend on the road, like, I mean, they're everybody.
And if you don't put in that work, they're all going to fail. So it's not that there's reasons. Actually, no, there is a reason. It's because you guys put in the work.
It's true. We truly didn't give up on each other.
Yeah.
Like, and even when we weren't genuinely in love, mm-hmm. we wanted marriage, which is only a little, like, a little lame that we wanted it that bad. But we did. And, like, if you have two people who really, really want that and can kind of see the light in the tunnel and they're willing to work, mm-hmm. I think, because let me tell you, for the first, like, year of our marriage, it was literally, it's just like dating, like, but backwards because you're already married. But, yeah, I feel like they kind of maybe anticipate, like, love a little too soon. And it's like, hello, that's not the real world.
And also, love doesn't mean fairy tale,
right?
And love doesn't mean honeymoon phase. Love
forever.
Like, you get deep and you fight.
Yeah,
and you have like the lowest of low points, and you throw your clothes in a suitcase sometimes, and then you come back from it because you will fight for that relationship.
Yes.
That is love.
That's love.
That's love.
Like whatever this fairy tale, like honeymoon phase, that is not even love. That's just like puppy love.
I used to get so sad over like the honeymoon being over, and one of my girlfriends, Bree, she always told me like, but that's not real love.
It's not.
Real love is like getting past that and making things work.
Yeah, real love is like the point when you feel like you're never going to survive, and then you do.
And then you do.
And then that feeling you have once you get over that hump is like it's more love than like puppy love. Like it's just like a better feeling.
Yeah.
So you got to get through that, but you got to have two people to do that.
Exactly.
And that's the hard part.
That's, I think, why Sean and I have worked too, is that we are two people who will do anything to make this work, even if it gets to like people say the same thing, oh, I want what you guys have. And I'm like, crazy, because you don't
know what happens behind the doors.
Yeah, and that's but that's real.
Yeah.
And that's something that we will always get through together.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for your guys' wedding.
Yeah, I can't either.
And baby someday.
Oh, probably before the wedding.
Hey.
Hey. Not now though, because I'm drunk. Oh, Victoria Weston wants to know what made you go on Married at First Sight.
So,
because you want marriage.
Well, yeah, that pretty much answers it. But also, I knew I was a girl hurting and needed some help. Like, I didn't have a good example of relationships and love. And, like, I didn't have anyone to really go to talk to about it. Mm-hmm. So when they said there's experts who wanted to help, I was like, yeah, sign me up.
Actually, that sounds pretty cool.
I mean, I was like, how much do I have to pay? Wait, they're going to do that for free for me? Okay,
And look what you got out of it.
I know. I'm lucky.
So beautiful. Rachel, no last name, wants to know, if you could star in another show, reality or scripted, which one would it be?
Oh, my God.
putting it out into the universe. I've always wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, preach.
Do you want to be on Dancing with the
Hell
Stars?
Hell yeah.
Oh, we can't be on at the same time, though, because...
Oh, because I danced my whole
Yes,
life.
Exactly. And I just had a baby. We could go on next to each other and support
I did,
each other.
You know what? I was like, I loved the idea of going on after the show just because I think everyone else did.
I feel like so many people from The Bachelor do, right?
Well, you didn't hear the story then because
I didn't.
I got accepted and I had a contract signed, but Mike Fleiss wouldn't let me. But that's
wait.
We could talk about that after. Everyone's
okay.
heard me complain about this so many times.
That's messed up.
That I don't like even putting
Caitlin.
The negative. I know it's so bad. I don't even like putting that out into the universe anymore because I'm like, I'm so thankful now because I'm on Broadway. That is like a way bigger dream to me than anything.
Yeah, girl.
And so I'm like, everything happens for a reason.
How long, like, does the contract last? Like, are you ever out? Like, where he
I'm
can't?
I'm out now.
Oh, so they could. So Dancing with the Stars could potentially reach out to you after you're done with Broadway and ask for you to film the next season.
They could.
And then you would be in L.A. You'd be hopping a flight from New York to L.A.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out into the universe because I'm really not ready right now. I need to have, like, another baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go first, and I'll support you, girl.
Okay, thank you. I feel like, I'm just so happy to be on Broadway now that I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank God for this path that I was
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good for you. But I'm putting it out there for
okay.
you.
Your I
next,
mean, I'm not
your
mad.
Next stint is going to be Dancing with the Stars.
I'm not mad if you put it out there. Do you – oh, this is from Amanda Huesler. Does Jamie and Doug have pre-baby bucket lists before the second baby?
That is so funny because that was a thing for us. We had a pre-baby bucket list. My husband did.
Oh.
It was, like, freaking real, too. Like,
really?
He wanted to, like, swim with sharks and
oh, I've done it.
Ghost hunting. We did, too.
Oh, you did? Where?
Like, in South Africa.
Oh, cool.
Where'd you go?
Hawaii.
Oh, that
we didn't
really
even
nice.
Go on a – did you have a tank? Like, or were you
like
in
a cage? Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't.
Really?
Yeah. Sean and I went in the middle of nowhere. We were both so hungover.
What are you, effing crazy?
Yes. We were both so hungover. We went. We didn't even sign anything. We just went with these, like, locals on a boat out to the middle and just jumped in.
Oh, my God,
swam with sharks.
You're crazy.
We are crazy.
And don't tell my husband that story because then he's going to want to do that.
It was the craziest thing I've ever been a part of. And while I was in there, I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Am I still drunk? Oh, my God, I'm swimming with sharks. And then, like... It was the wildest thing I've ever done. They're, like, looking you in the eye and swimming around you.
But I wish you had, like, a video of that.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I'll show you.
You should put that on YouTube or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, we actually should. It's the wildest thing I've ever been a part of. And
that's nuts.
We're, like, swimming around and honestly looking them in the eyes. And at one point I was like, they tell you to not show fear because that's when they start questioning
but
you.
How do you not have fear?
I was so calm once I got in there. And seen them, and I was like, I saw the way they reacted to me being calm, and they just were, like, curious. And then at one point, I was like, I'm going to have a panic attack, because now I'm, like, in my head. And so I was
get
like...
Get me out of here.
And I panicked and got out of the water, and so, anyways...
And got
but it
eaten
was,
on the way up.
Yeah, yeah, almost. But, yeah, it was so wild. But, anyways, so you did it in... Where did
South
you say?
Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the other bucket list thing you said?
Okay, so he had, like... so many things on his bucket list, but one was, like, to live with indigenous people, like an indigenous tribe.
Yeah.
So we literally took, like, this little car the size of, like, this room, basically. It was an itty-bitty car, like a bug or something.
Yeah.
In South Africa and drove from, like, one area to the next. Like, crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then he wanted to, like, swim with sharks. He wanted to go on a real ghost hunt. He's really into that.
Did you guys do that yet?
We did do that.
We did that so
on his pre-baby.
Is this on your show?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, cool.
It's on Married at First Sight. The first year, I think the second season.
Okay, amazing.
And then we had our baby.
Yeah. Oh my
I was
God.
Like, I'll do anything. We went skydiving.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's on my list.
Yeah, it's really, like, not worth it. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's like, why are you gonna go up in a tin can? And then, like, jump out and, like, hope the parachute opens. Like,
yeah, I guess
you, like, see the view. In the tin can, just stay in the tin can. The plane that you go up in is like a tin can. It's so, like, flimsy
just
and small.
Just stay in the plane.
Yeah, just stay in the plane and look
enjoy
at the view.
The view from there.
And at least their chances of surviving are, like, so much higher.
Yeah.
But we did it. And my husband immediately was like, oh, I want to do it again. I was like, I'm never
You're like, nope,
doing that
it.
Again. We crossed it off the list already. We're done.
Yeah. That was me swimming with sharks. I'm like, we did it. Never doing that again.
Same.
That's
oh,
cool.
My God.
Oh, good for you. You guys do all this stuff together.
We did some
That's
crazy
awesome.
Stuff. Yeah.
So do you have anything else on the list before baby two?
Oh, for before baby two, that's the question. For me, I always wanted to take – I mean, it's not really on the list. I'll still have baby number two.
Yeah.
I kind of want to have baby number two. I'm like, I have this weight to lose, so I may as well just, like, get knocked up again. Because, like, I don't want to lose all the weight and then get knocked up again and then have the baby and then gain all the weight again to
that's
have to lose
point.
It again. Let's just get pregnant again.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing on the list. I mean, but I would
you've
love –
you've done a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would love to take, like, a cross-country trip or go to Australia. I've always wanted to go to Australia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would, too.
Yeah.
You've just done so much and accomplished so much, and you've, like, came from you know, your trailer park yeah. when you were young to where you are today
yeah.
and gone through struggles and ups and downs and yeah. so many success stories too. And
yeah, I hope that like you've a little girl in a trailer park is listening to this right now. And
yeah.
she's like, if she can do it, I can do it, because it's so true. Like,
yeah.
you don't have to be a product of your environment. You really
no.
don't. And not that a trailer park is bad, because there are some really great trailer parks out there.
One of my best friends grew up on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. she is great family.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's honestly a really great way to save some money, because
yeah.
it's less expensive than owning a home.
Yeah.
But when you're coming from the rundown trailer park,
yeah.
you know, where I'm from, like, and you're kind of, it's true, it's a cycle, you know, like,
yeah.
it's just like my, to be honest, like my grandma, my mom, my sister, me, you know, it's a cycle, but
yeah.
you don't have to be a part of that cycle. You can break
yeah.
it. And I hope that little girl, like some little girl somewhere is listening to this and will really know that,
because yeah.
it's true.
And then you're going to raise, you know, a daughter in
yeah.
such a, you know, you've learned from all of your experiences that she has such a unique experience from you, and
yeah.
and she'll grow up. She already is a beautiful young
Thank
lady.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we sweet. Love her.
Absolutely. I already love her, and it's just from Instagram pics.
Thanks.
But yeah, just thank you for coming on the podcast
yeah,
and sharing
no, thank you.
Your stories, because I know you've inspired people just through your own social media world and shows. But now, hopefully, you get some more people from this podcast that,
yeah,
you know,
thank you.
You can help them and they can help you.
Yeah,
and
I would love that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. So tell us where we can find you, your blog,
yeah.
everything.
So I'm Jamie N. Otis
mm-hmm.
On like at Jamie N. Otis on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook it's just Jamie N. Otis, and my website's jamieotis.com.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're going to be our show, Married at First Sight, Jamie and Doug Plus One.
So awesome.
Premieres Tuesday, December 19th at 8 o'clock.
I feel like this is going to come out after that.
Yeah, it definitely is, because that's today.
Oh, it's today the 19th?
Yeah, today's the 19th,
oh,
and our
yeah,
show
Tucker,
premieres tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's Tucker's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, on what channel?
On Lifetime.
Oh, I'm watching.
You're going to watch it?
I'll record it, because I'll be
gonna,
on my show.
I was going to say, don't you have Broadway?
Yeah.
You big
I'll
star.
I'll record it. Oh, that's
yeah.
so awesome.
Yeah, and then every Tuesdays at 10 o'clock on Lifetime, our
okay.
show will be on.
Okay.
So.
10 o'clock Eastern time?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be home for that.
Yay!
Awesome.
Awesome,
oh, I'm
Caitlin.
So excited. Okay, you guys, here's your sponsor review so you can write down all the great deals I've gotten you through this podcast. There's Bright Sellers, 50% off your first box, brightsellers.com/offthevine. Join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroixWater, or check us out on LaCroixWater.com. Lantana Hummus, go to lantanafoods.com for more info on flavors, locations, and more. And Amazon, keep the podcast free while you shop, amazon.com/shop/CaitlinBristow. One last question for you.
Sure.
What animal jumps higher than a house?
Oh, my God. Do you put everyone through this? Because I have no idea. I would say a kangaroo, but I mean, I'm sure that's probably like, is that really it? No, it's not it. Is it it?
No, it's all animals. Houses can't jump.
Duh. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me right now? I'm like, she probably puts everyone through this. I don't know these questions. My husband would have gotten that. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so funny. Yes,
you
I love
whippersnapper,
panic.
You.
Whippersnapper. Oh, my gosh. I'm so recycling whippersnapper. That's such
a good whippersnapper.
One. Hello, whippersnapper. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I love that reaction. Okay, you guys, you know the drill. If you don't want to miss an episode, you can download the Podcast One app. Go to podcastone.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review. I'm desperate here.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is easily worth a 5-star review.
5.5, even though that's not an option.
I mean, 10.
Yeah, 10.
20,
just
50.
Give us the 5 stars and then comment and say 10 stars.
Yeah, that's
okay.
all.
Give us some self-worth here.
But we're not going to get it from your stars.
No, uh-uh. Nope.
Mm-mm, nope.
You know what? I'm not desperate. I don't need your stars.
Mm-mm, no.
Yes, I do.
But give me the stars.
Give me the stars. Okay. Okay, I'm Caitlin Bristow, and I will see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?
So if you are like me, in the same position right now, and you're looking to buy a car, you are probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car Dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your own home. And how do you know if your True Car price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what the other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this so that they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new car or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Again, I'm in the same position with you guys. I'm trying to find a car right now.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow. But I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.